Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit with that, what Minister Adam Tuttle in Jesus' name. We are here live. We are here, y'all. It's another beautiful, beautiful Saturday. We are here on the Student Live Network in Jesus' name. We came to give God the praise on today. If you're listening, you are blessed, and you're blessed not because you're listening to me, but you are blessed because if you're hearing me right now, you are in the land of the living on today, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Why? Because the Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord." Amen. Praise God for being here on today. Again, you're listening to me. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning or afternoon. I pray to God for each listener that is listening to this broadcast on today. We praise God. We want to give honor to the Lord on today for allowing us to see another day. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, Bishop Shalvin Cook, in Jesus' name, we praise God on earth and thank you. Praise God for allowing us to come once again, and we praise God for all of the other shows that come on here each every single week to give you guys, the people of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're doing this around the world, y'all. Amen. Before we jump into the topic on today, I want to say that everybody, I want to give you a word of encouragement. This is not dealing with the topic, but I know a lot of people. We went through, everybody knows it, the whole world knows it. We have been through a very, very trying year last year. We all know this about the pandemic. A lot of things have been going on. We know that at the beginning of this year, we have a new president, vice president. We made history. The United States made history in a new first ever female vice president. Not only is it female, but she is female of multiracial. So thank God for making that, for the United States making that history. We also, I want to encourage you guys right now, anything that you have in your life, my one, think the Lord. And if the Lord says yes, you can do it. Man. Now, we're getting ready to jump into the topic. The topic that you were following me on Facebook, you will find out what the topic is. Sometimes I tell it, and sometimes I don't. I like to leave the suspense on people on what the topic is. But the topic today is step out of the flesh. Step out of the flesh. And when we're talking about stepping out of the flesh, we're not talking about natural flesh. So, well, why do you think step out of the flesh? When we say step out of the flesh, or when you talk about the flesh in the spiritual, it is talking about a mind. Say that again. When you talk about the flesh in the Bible, flesh, and it is talking about a mindset. when you talk about the mindset, it is having your mind armed and ready is the admission of Christ. Amen. When you come, and the reason why we have to take on a godly mindset is so that we can fulfill the obligation and the statutes that God has, that God set before us in the Word of God. You cannot, and we as saints of God, as people in general, cannot fulfill the plan of God without having the mind of Christ. There, because you will have a, and the reason why we can't fulfill it on our own is because we need the Holy Ghost to be able to fulfill the plan and the duty and the statutes of the Most High God. Because there will be a fight. The enemy will fight you on every hand to try to stop you, and demons will try to stop you. People will try to stop you from doing the will of God. Amen. And when you step into, this is why we say step out of the flesh, because you're stepping into a new mindset. Amen. It's stepping into a new mindset. You're stepping away from the old mindset. You're stepping away from the sinful mindset that you were born with. And you're stepping into the mind of Christ. See, there is a difference between, and the reason why I'm saying this is the difference between the natural mindset and a godly mindset. Number one reason why it's two different things, because in a godly mindset, you see things clearly in the spirit. I don't even know if clearly is even a word, but we're going to use it today, y'all. But you see more things clearly when you have a godly mind. Okay? If you try to see things in the spiritual with the natural mindset, you won't, and this is why, and we have to back up. The Bible says that our ways are not his ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And our thoughts are not his thoughts. We, in a natural mindset, cannot understand clearly the plan and the moves of God. That's why we must step out of our own mindset, out of our own natural mindset, and step into the realm of the spiritual mindset of Christ. The Bible says that he would keep your mind in perfect. Mind is what? Stayed upon thee. If you keep your mind on Christ, then you will be in a godly mindset. Now you might say, well, you just said that if I keep my mind on Christ, then I'm all right. I'm in a godly mindset. I can step out of my, I've stepped out of my flesh. What do I need the Holy Ghost? Well, you need the Holy Ghost to remain in that mindset. You need the Holy Ghost to help you remain in that mindset. Amen. And the reason why we need, because we can't actually, you want to know something? We came into this world, believe it or not, we came as people, as human beings, from Adam, from the start of Adam, we came into this world as our mind. Y'all may not believe it. I might say, well, what? We did? Yes. There was no sin on the earth when Adam was first. There was no sin. It was the thing that God gave us that helped sin come into the world, but he gave us, and this is out of his own mercy, that he gave us the choice. He gave us free will. Free will does not force himself upon nobody. The Bible says, if your God be God, serve God. If your God be Baal, serve him. That's a choice. Free will. And you have the ability to choose. I have the ability to choose. Bishop has the ability to choose whether we want to serve the Lord or not. But this is where we have to step out of the mind of the flesh and into the mind of Christ. Now, let me say this. And I'm going to take this to from the fall of Adam, brought sin because he disobeyed. It was disobedience that brought sin into the world. Okay? So, you might say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. So, why do I need this thing called the Holy Ghost to help me step out of my flesh, out of my sinfulness? Why do I need it? I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking, I'm not doing this. I'm a really good person, okay? I'm a really good person. And you know what? I'm even going to go further than that. There are more than just people that go to church. There are sinners that go to church. There are saints that go to church. And that's great. I'm not downing that. You read your Bible. You. Some people feel like, hey, I don't have to go to church. Some people feel like I don't have to go to church. I have to go to church. Some people feel like, hey, I'll read my Bible. I go to church. I do this. I do that. I'm over here doing good. I'm over here doing good. I'm serving. And all of that. That's great. But when it comes to receiving the full mindset of Christ, you need, and this is a must, you need to be saved. You have to be born again of the water and to receive the full package of the mindset of Christ. You have to. That's for everybody. For man, woman, boy, and girl. For everybody. Amen. So, when you step into, and I'm doing this flow, I'm not pooping and hollering because of the fact, I want you to understand this. I want you to get in the mindset of Christ. And we're gonna talk about the mindset of Christ. This is what the mindset looks like. The mindset of Christ is separate from the world, the things of the world, doing the things of the world, going the places that they go, doing the things that they do. And it shows. Let me, you can go to Romans. We can go to Romans 12. It's Romans 12. And 1. I think it's Romans 12 and 1. We're going to go there right now. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read you Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this will show you that our mind has to be separate. We have to take our mindset of Christ. This is out of your flesh, out of your flesh and mindset, right? I'll show you. Romans 12, verse 1-2. And it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the first part. Now, watch this. This is where this next verse is the mindset. Watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just follow it like this. At the end of that, it says will of God. Your mind has to be transformed. And once you receive a perfect Holy Ghost, you receive the perfect will of God. You will step into the mindset of Christ. Step into the mindset of Christ. So then, so, now, when we look at it, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, this is David speaking, telling us that he was conceived, he was born in sin, okay? So, you and I were all born in sin. When we were that cute, cuddly little baby that our mother and our fathers looked at, they said, oh, that cute little baby. Oh, this baby's so precious. Yeah, you were a precious little sinner. You had nothing. And look, let me tell you something. Y'all did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong. It wasn't of you. It wasn't of you. You did nothing wrong. Only thing you did was be born. And you didn't ask to be born, so you did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. But because of the fall between mankind, because of the fall of mankind, that brought us into sin. Because of the choice mankind, which was Adam, the choice that he made by not listening to God himself and rather listening to man. And when I say man, listening to a human being other than the voice of the Lord, and we have that in today's society, where people will listen to man rather than listen to God. Okay? They would rather listen to man. And when I say man, we've read it in the Word of God that Adam listened to Eve, and you know, he ate of the forbidden fruit and whatnot. When I say listen to man, yes, that was a woman. I'm not, and I know some people might try to take this, but we don't feel the noise right now. When I say that Adam listened to man, I'm talking about he listened to his wife. He listened to woman. He's still a human being. He listened to a human being rather than listening to God. Okay? All right? That's what I'm talking about. So, we must step out of our flesh, which is the mindset that we are in. Because, like I said earlier, we cannot understand the full effect of God until we step out of our fleshly mind on that. Okay? In a spiritual mindset, you can't watch this. I want you to understand. Have you ever noticed when you read the Word of God, God uses natural stuff to show us stuff? Have you ever noticed that? God uses natural things to help us understand the spiritual side of things. For example, the parable of the prodigal son. He used a son and a father. This is symbolic of man turning away from God and the things he has for him. And that spiritual son, that son or that daughter of Christ, returning back unto God. He used a natural scenario to show us what he wants us to do. And and he has to do that, and sometimes he'll use spiritual things to show us things. But you see, sometimes he'll use natural things to show us stuff. He uses natural things, and me personally, he uses natural things and natural situations with me a lot to understand what he's talking about. Amen. So, but when we look at how do we come out of sin? How do we come out? Now,
in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it tells us how we can come out of sin. Okay? Now watch this, and how we can step out of our flesh. Watch this. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And this is, and look, watch this. And you'll see when I just said God using natural things to help us understand the spiritual, watch this. You'll see. Watch this. St. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. All right, and it reads, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now, watch this. That right there, Nicodemus was confused. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. That shows you right there that man sometimes does not understand the spiritual side of what God is trying to deliver to the people of God. That right there. Or a sinner for that matter. Okay? That is why we have to step out of our fleshly mindset to understand and step into the mindset of Christ to understand what God has for us in the spirit. He did not understand. We see it right there. Nicodemus said, I'll read it again. I'll read that little part again of this verse. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Which means, how can I, being a man, be born again? That I'm this age or that age. I'll use me, for example, to explain what Nicodemus was talking about. I'm 33 years old. I can't be born again in the natural. Amen. I can't go back in age. I gotta go forward in age. I'm not a baby. I'm not a child anymore. That's what Nicodemus was talking about. He was trying to understand what God was saying to him. And this is what Nicodemus still, not understanding what God was saying to him, what Jesus was saying to him, what God was saying to him. He said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus was talking about a natural birth. Right there. As you can see, as right there. He thought Jesus was talking about a natural birth. Now watch this. Jesus explains himself. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And look, and watch this. He explains it. He does this. This is where God uses natural things to explain things to people. In verse number 6, I didn't have it in my notes, but we'll read it. That which is born flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, which means what is in the natural is of the natural, and that which is in the spiritual is spiritual. These two are not going to, one has to outweigh the other. And it's supposed to be, the spirit is supposed to outweigh the flesh every time. The spirit has subjection over the natural. You can't do anything in the natural without the spirit. Let me explain. We have the body, which is in the natural. You have your body, they say body, soul, and spirit, correct? The body is of the natural. Your soul is inside your body. Your body is nothing but an earth suit for your soul. It is able because your soul is not able to walk around on earth and do earthly things unless it has an earth suit, which is your body. Once your soul leaves your body, what happens? Die. Amen. And the spirit part of it, there are Holy Spirit, there are demonic spirits. You are around spirits all the time. We are around spirits all the time. I don't care where you go. I don't care what family you're born into. I don't care whatever. You and me, we are around spirit all the time. All the time. So, what does that mean? We have to be on guard all the time. This is why we have to take a spiritual mindset on everything. Why? Because the Bible does say, be careful for nothing. Okay? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Some of the stuff that's happening in the world today is not happening on a happy thing, whether it be miracles, or whether it be demonic forces trying to do stuff to people. If you, and I'm going to give you an example, if you see in a neighborhood where, and we see this a lot on the news, where somebody gets shot and gets killed, and then a couple minutes later, around the same area, somebody else gets shot and gets killed, and then you hear two more people got killed near the same area. Those are spirits. There's a murdering spirit around there. There is a murdering spirit around there. I'll say it like this too. If you see a bunch of people being healed from various sicknesses and diseases and various illnesses and various physical ailments in one place, there's a spirit of healing taking place. Healing in that area where that stuff is happening. That's why I said we are around spirits all the time. You're always around spirits. That is why, and look, watch this. This is why we must protect ourselves spiritually. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. This is why we need salvation, because you cannot fight off demonic spirits with natural stuff. You can't. Nobody can. You might think you can, but you can't. And I'll give you this example. Some people try to fight off demonic spirits by using natural stuff. For example, if a person is underneath depression, they might try to use some. I've heard of some say. They tried to use drinking as a way to cope with their depression. Okay? They've used drugs to try to cope with their depression. They've used this. They've used women. They've used men. They've used this. They've used that to try to cope with their depression or whatever illness it might be. Depression is nothing but a spirit. And you cannot fight spiritual. You can't fight, you cannot be underneath spiritual warfare using natural things of this world. It's not going to work. This is why we have to step out of our flesh, out of our fleshly mindset, tap into the mind of Christ. That's why I said earlier, I read the scripture earlier. He said he'll keep your mind, if whose mind is stayed upon thee, which is him. You have to keep your mind on Christ. You have to be in the mindset of Christ to be able to understand what God has for you. You have to understand that, okay? Now, if we have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of us, the Spirit will help us fight. The Spirit will help us fight. Okay? How do I know this? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Watch this. Watch this. I want y'all to, like I said, if you're listening to the show later or now, make sure that you take these scriptures down and go back and read them, because they're good. They're good. It's good. It's good food. It's good spiritual food for your soul. Amen. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to call in. If you have any questions, you can call in right now. And look, let me tell you something. I am not a minister that says he knows everything. I do not know it all. But let me tell you this. I'll do like my pastor does. The way my pastor taught me and the way my former pastor taught me. If I do not know the answer, I will not leave you answerless. I will go and find you the answer. And I will bring forth the answer, whether it be from the source that I got it from, or they give me the answer, and I'll bring it back on the show.
Amen and hallelujah. Glory. Listen, saints of God, if you're sitting in the studio right now, and I do see you sitting in the studio right now, and you have a comment or question, or you would just like to put a praise on it, or you would just like to encourage this young minister, hallelujah, you know, press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Now, if you're sitting in one of the three chat rooms, you also may get in on the praise by simply typing hallelujah, what you would like to say, and I will relay it to Minister Adam. Amen. And I would just like to be the first one to say yes and amen, Minister Tuggle. Yes and amen. You know, we really do need to allow God to do a new thing in us. Mm-hmm. Yes. We need to allow him to teach us how to allow the word of God to renew our mind. We need to ask God to teach us, hallelujah, how to love him. We need to allow him to lead us and guide us and strengthen us instead of leading to our own understanding. That's what I heard you say, but young man.
Yes,
and it was such good food, because we have so many saints today. Oh, they read the word, they quote the word, but they don't believe the word. They don't apply the word on the daily.
Right.
You know, they will come to church on Sunday and recite Romans 12:1-2 like a champ. But now they haven't thought about that during the week. They haven't even opened their Bibles.
Right.
So I just want to say thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you for that good word.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm looking, I'm scrolling. We have a Minister Tucker, we have a young person that is in our chat room, and they wanted to know how, you know, with so many things going on, you know, when you're 17 years old, how do you truly know if God is renewing your mind or not? That was the question.
Okay. How do you know if God is renewing your mind? Well,
yes.
Number one, when you go, first of all, you have to believe that God has.
Come on.
When you repent, whatever you've done, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. If you have the desire to want to
live holy and want to be saved and want to live in a godly mindset, first of all, it takes faith to believe that God has changed your mind. Okay? And then when you're stepping into that new mindset, the way you get into that new mindset and the way you know is because everything about you will change. The way you walk, people will see a change in you. The way you walk, the way you carry yourself, the things that you say, it will be, it's just like you were, and I'm not saying to this young person that they were doing this, but I'm using this as an example. If you are a person that did this and did that, or you had a conversation that was unpleasing to the Lord, and your conversation has changed, then you have renewed, God has renewed your mind. If you find your, in a way you know that you have a renewed mind, is when the Holy Ghost convicts you, and you take that
wrong,
and the Holy Ghost tells you, don't do that.
Yes, amen. Say that. Say that.
Because the Holy Ghost will warn you before. A warning comes before destruction, the Bible says.
Yes.
So a warning will come before destruction. You have not, no temptation cometh to man that God has not made a way of escape.
Okay.
So when that temptation comes upon you and you find yourself seeing that temptation come up at your face and you see yourself going the opposite way, you find yourself going the opposite way, then you have a renewed mind. And you don't find yourself falling into the same trap that you were in. You have a renewed mind. And sometimes most of the time when you think you have a renewed mind and you know you have a renewed mind, the devil will try to play with your mind and tell you you don't. But you know what you need to do, whoever this person is, what you need to do every day, look yourself in the mirror.
All right.
Speak over your...
Yes, encourage yourself. Hallelujah.
My former pastor used to say, prophesy over yourself. You don't need a prophet to prophesy over you. You have enough power.
That's right. Come on.
To speak over yourself. Tell yourself, I encourage this person. I'm challenging you today. I don't know what state you live in. I don't know what country you're in.
Come on.
I don't need to know all that. But I'm encouraging you to tell yourself every day that I have a renewed mind, that my life has changed. God has changed my mind. And not only tell yourself, but tell the devil himself. You have power to tell the devil to get out. Because if you feel like you don't have a changed mind, that is of the enemy. If you have repented your sin and you are walking in the ways of God and the devil's trying to tell you, you ain't got no change. And I know, and I understand, I used to be a young person, and the devil deals with young people just as well as he deals with elder people. So I understand. And it's hard for young people nowadays. It's hard. But let me tell you this. Speak over yourself. Tell yourself you have to change. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about stepping out of the flesh and stepping into the mind of Christ. You know you can tell your mindset to change. You have the ability to tell your mindset. Just like you can tell, just like a person can tell themselves, I'm going to graduate, I'm going to do this. It's just the same thing. Except the only difference is that you got power in the spirit to make it happen. You got enough power in the spirit for it to happen. And it's not you changing you, it's God changing you. All right.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, minister, that was a beautiful, beautiful way to give someone instructions. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what God is doing in us, through us, and to us. Hallelujah. And as we grow in his word, as we study his word for ourselves, as we go to him and we pray according to his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, like my little brother said, you will know. Because, see, you can't hang out with Jesus and remain the same.
And
you can't really.
Too.
Yes. Come on, little brother. This is your program. Come on.
Another thing, too. If you find yourself, and this is not a lesson, but it is a lesson. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. So if you change your friends and change the people you hang with, another way for a person to understand, and I know I don't know if we have any more questions or not, because I want to get to the other ones too. But
no, Minister Tuggle, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. The way we get to a change of mindset also can help us get to that change of mindset is the people we hang out with. Because if you're trying to have a change of mindset and the old mindset are your old friends that had you in that mindset of where you're trying to get out of, if you're still hanging out with those people or still hanging out with their family members, you're not going to have a change of mindset, but you need to get you. Hey, look, let me tell y'all something. If you're trying to go to a new, everybody is not for you. I don't care who they are. Everybody's not going to like where you go. Everybody's not going to like what you say. Everybody's not going to like what you do. Sometimes the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. That weight can be family members. That weight can be friends. That weight, and I'm not calling the people that are around us sinners, sin. I'm not saying that. Can be a deterrent to where you're trying to go. So if you change change the mindset, change the people. Get around strong people in Christ. I used to hang with the old people, or wiser people. I used to hang around the old saints all the time. That's why I have my wife and my friends. My wife tells me that, and she's like, "You're old," and she's not making fun of me. But I have an old soul. Why? Because I hang around old. I've hanged around the wiser people. Now, am I still young? Yeah, I'm forever young. But if you hang around, and that's a good way for a person to gain strength in God. Hang around the people of God that are older than you, that have been saved longer than you, that you know that they ain't taken down from this God. Get you a good old-fashioned mother or a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled deacon and hang around them. Talk to them. I used to hang around my pastor. I still do. I hang around my pastor. Yes, my mother and my father are my pastor. My former pastor, I call her. I have her number. You understand me? And we would talk in my office at my former church. We would talk to her for hours in a day. Because we had that you wanted to be close. Back in the day, you wanted to be close to the church. You wanted to be close to the Spirit of God, so you kept yourself attuned to the people of God. Amen? That helps us stay out of our flesh. That helps us. That helps me. That helps you. And let me show y'all this. In Isaiah, we were going to read Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, it reads, So shall ye, they fear the name of the Lord from the west,
and hid from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This standard, the standard of God, will be able to block anything that the enemy brings to you. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to show y'all this. Let's go to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Galatians. And like I said before, go back and read these scriptures. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. Let's see. You know what? No, not verse 6. Verse number 16. I'm sorry. It's verse number 16. I'm so sorry. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. I didn't see the one on my paper. I'm sorry, y'all. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and it reads, This I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit, walking in the mindset of Christ. Amen? Walking in the mindset of Christ. So, you might ask, well, how do I receive this mindset? How do I receive this? I was listening to, before I go there, there are some people that say, I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Okay, let me share something with y'all. And some people might be mad at me after I say this. Look, whether, and I'm not throwing off on anybody. I'm not talking about anybody, so I'm putting this disclaimer up right now before I say this. Now, people might say, hey, I don't have to have a relationship with God. I don't have to go to church every Sunday. I don't have to go to church. I read my Bible and I pray and stuff at home. I can have church at home. If you're in a relationship with somebody or a friendship, do you always want to go? You want your relationship to be reciprocated, right? With the love that you show them. The same love you want back. Amen? So, if you're in a friendship and you go, you're always going over their house, your friend's house, and you're going over there, you're checking on them, or if you're in a relationship and you're always calling the individual, checking on them, and, you know, this and that. Hi, how you doing? I'm just calling to check to see if you're all right, calling about your day. But they never do it, and they never do that with you. You might feel some type of way, right? Amen? Now, I said that to say this. God does not always want to come to your house. He wants you to come to his house. He wants you to come and stop with him. At our house, there's a whole lot of distractions that we might have. There's a whole lot of distractions. Some might have children, some might have work, and now with this pandemic going on, just about everybody working from home. Okay? You gotta worry about bills. You got to worry about this. You got to worry about that. But when you come into the presence of God, when you come, this is stepping out of the flesh, y'all. This is stepping out of the natural mindset that we try to put God in. We try to put God in a box. I heard somebody say out on that one. We try to put God, it's not God trying to put, God makes it so easy and so plain to fulfill his word. Amen. He makes it so easy, so plain, but we as people make it hard. We make it hard because we try to put God, we try to put the word of God in our own natural mindset. And if it's not in our own natural mindset, we don't understand it. Why is it that God always has to come to us? Why can't we go to him? Why can't we come up to his level? Why he got to come down to our level? Well, he's a loving God. Okay, he's a loving God, but he also wants you to come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. He doesn't want you to stay down in the gutter most. He doesn't want you to stay in the gutter most of understanding what he wants you to be at. And what I mean by the gutter most, the lowest of the low to understand. He has made this word so plain. Even a person with a disability, with a mental disability, can understand it. And you know what? The person that's talking to you right now, on this broadcast right now, was told by school and was told by a doctor that I would never, ever be able to read. You hear me? Saying this as a testimony. And I'm saying this to prove to you that God made this word so plain that even a dummy could understand. And I don't mean a little dummy when I say dummy. I mean somebody that has problems with their memory or problems with their thought process in the physics. They can even understand. And you're listening to one right now. I was told in school that I had a learning disability. Me and school, do not get along. When it came to school, and I've said this on the show before, because I don't sugarcoat anything. Some of that was because of me, and some of that was because of my learning disability. But I thank God that I'm able to understand the word of God. Because if you don't understand the word of God for yourself, how are you able to live? How are you able to tell somebody about God unless you understand it? And he breaks it down so plainly. He uses natural stuff. We broke it down in the topic today. What he uses natural stuff to help man understand what he wants us to do. He breaks it down so plainly. And he makes it so easy. It's us and the devil that makes it hard for us to live right. It ain't us. And I hate when people say, oh, the devil did this to me. The devil did that. If it wasn't for the devil, I wouldn't have done this. And the devil made me do it. Oh, Lord. The devil does not. Look, some of this stuff that's going on today, the devil, and you know what? I don't play with the devil at all. I don't give him no glory. But some of this stuff that's going on in people's lives, and some of these mess ups that are happening that we call mistakes, and we just keep doing them. Yeah, I ain't even go here. We say the devil made you do it, and the devil ain't done nothing to you. That's you. That's you. You too. Because just because we look, let me tell y'all something else. God has made a way where you might say, well, I don't have a photo, so I don't have to look at, but God made you comment now. I'm gonna give you an example. Somebody goes out and if a person goes out and robs somebody, you got the common sense enough to know not to rob nobody and steal it. Common sense will tell you not to steal. That's just common sense. So if if you don't have the Holy Ghost, at least you do have common sense, unless your conscience is weak. That's another story. That's another topic for another day. Because you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, does that mean you don't have common sense? And for those that have the Holy Ghost, just because you have the Holy Ghost don't mean you lose your common sense, neither. Because I don't see somebody, I don't see some people say they got the Holy Ghost and got no lack of common sense that God gave the group. But why would you do that? Why would you do that and, you know, you ain't letting the Spirit of the Lord lead? Because if you did, you would use your common sense. I'm sorry, John. How do we receive Spirit? How do we receive the Spirit of the Lord or the Holy Ghost or the power to fight the fight of faith? How do we do this? Now, in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost not only helps us to understand life itself in the natural, but it also helps us understand the Word of God and the spiritual side of life. Now, there is a scripture that is used and is used out of context. And we're going to look at that scripture. We're going to look at that. There is a way. Now, the Bible says there is a way to seem as right to man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Okay? All right? But there's a way to seem as right to man, but the end thereof is death. Okay? Man's way in the natural, I'm talking about the world's way, is that if you live right, if you just live a morally good life or you try to live a good life, you'll make it to heaven. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do that. You can live any kind of way you want to, but as long as you're morally good, or as long as you're trying to live morally good, you're going to make it to heaven. Not so. Not so. You must have the Holy Ghost. There is no other way. Now there's two scriptures. One that is used out of context to receiving the Holy Ghost, and there's one that's used in context that is the correct way. Okay? Now, I'm not diminishing and I'm not bashing anybody's way of belief when I do this. I'm going to show you, and you might say, well, that's the way you read it. No, this is the way God said it. Okay? So we're going to break it down. And y'all hear me stating this scripture at the end of every show. And you're going to hear me say it today at the end of this show. Acts 2 and 38. Okay, Acts 2 and 38, most of us can quote it, not even looking at our Bibles. And it reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Remission means removal of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the start, the lifeblood of the church. This is the apostles' doctrine. This right here, Acts 2 and 38, is the lifeblood of salvation. This is it. That's the plan of salvation. This is the plan of salvation. Right here. Now there is controversy about the tongues and being baptized and what name. We're going to deal with that right now. I want you to go to Acts chapter 1. Now, we just read Acts 2 and 38. That, now, you might say, well, you're talking about this Holy Ghost and everything. What does the Holy Ghost do for you? Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what the Holy Ghost will do for you. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. Power for what? What power? Is it, what type of power is it? It's the power to fight off your flesh. It's the power to step out of your fleshly mindset. It is the power to step into the mind and stay in the mind of what? Christ. It is the power to say no to sin. It is the power to tell yourself, I do have a changed mind. Amen? This is how we receive it. Now, how do we know that we have this Holy Ghost? How do we know? All right, I'm going to show you. And y'all might say, well, you beat that scripture to the T. There were people, if you look, well, I'm gonna deal with that in a minute. I'm going to stop with that real quick. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2. This is how you know you have received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. And I have people, I know I'm going to have some people that are, you know, jumpy about this, but it's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It is in there, but we're going to deal with it. Acts chapter 2, verses, I was going to read verses 3 and 4, but I'm going to read verses 1 through, oh, I'm going to read all four verses. Amen. I'm going to read all four. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. See that right there? As the Spirit gave them utterance. You, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You will. You must. Some people believe that the tongues are a gift. Let me show y'all something. Let me tell y'all. This is why we celebrate, okay? Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He died so that the day of Pentecost might happen. He said, before he departed off this earth, before he descended back up into heaven, he said, if I do not depart, the Comforter will not come. He said the Comforter was the Holy Ghost. He said he will send back the Comforter, which was the Holy Ghost. And this is what he was talking about on the day of Pentecost. And this is what happened. See, the Holy Ghost is just like you can't see the wind blowing through this blowing. You can feel the wind, but you can't physically in the natural eye see the wind. You can't physically, in the natural eye, see the Holy Ghost either. So, what does he do? When he comes inside of you, he lets you know that that the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you by what? Taking that tongue, the most deadliest member of your body, and taming the tongue and speaking through you in an unknown language. He speaks. Why do we
Some people will debunk the tongues. You can't debunk the tongue. Reason why you can't debunk the tongues is because you need the tongues for two reasons. Number one, for evidence. Number two, you need the tongues for prayer. Why would I need the tongues for prayer? Because when you pray, whatever language you pray in, I don't care if it's Spanish, English, whatever. If you pray in English, just as well as God hears you, the devil hears you. But if you're praying in your heavenly language, the devil does not understand what you are saying. He does not understand what you're saying. He doesn't. I'm going to use this. If you have two people that speak English, and you have another person, Spanish or French or whatever, and they do not understand what those two people speaking English are talking about, that's the same thing with the enemy. If you speak in your heavenly language, the devil does not understand you. You trick the enemy that way by praying in your heavenly language. Amen? Amen. So, this is how we know that we have the Holy Ghost. Now, I said earlier that there is a scripture that people use for baptism. Now, like I said earlier, I am not trying to fight. I am not trying to debunk what you believe. But if you are a person has been baptized in this way, I'm going to say it like this. God has more for you. All right? Now, let's go to Matthew 28:19 real quick because we're getting low on time. We're coming to the close of this. Matthew 28:19. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. And it reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, you might say, well, there it is right there. You said, if it's in the Word of God, there it is. That's the Word. Go ye therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But this is where you have to take on the mindset of Christ. And just because you read it, you may not understand what you're reading. You have to get in deep with the Word of God. That's where the knowledge comes in at. See, this verse right here is not telling us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This verse right here, he was commanding his disciples to baptize in what? In Jesus' name, which we read in Acts 2:38. This verse right here is nothing but the Great Commission. What is commission? Commission, in military terms, look in the natural, see? This is what we use natural to understand it. The spiritual. In the military, the United States military, whatever type of military it might be, commission means command. All right? Commission means command. He is commanding his disciples and those that are far off, those that us and those that believers that before us, to baptize in his name. And you might say that, but it says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some people believe that Jesus is nothing but the Son. No, that's not true. He is not only the Son, but he is the Father, and he is the Holy Ghost, and yet he is the Son. Watch this.
If we go to John chapter 10, verse 30, it shows us that he is the Father. And we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 30 real quick. I'm going to break this down, and then we're going to wrap this up. John chapter 10,
verse 30.
And it reads, I and my Father are one. What that means is, he is the Father. If you've ever read where Jesus, when he referred himself, he always referred himself as one. God always referred himself as one. There's not three, there's not two. The reason why I can say this, see, this is understanding the word of God. He said, I would not give my glory to another. There's one. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One. There's not two, there's not three. Amen? So he is the Father. Now, watch this. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Because like I said, we're running on time here. Matthew. Now, that's John chapter 10, verse 30 just showed us that he is the Father. Now, watch this. Now, watch. Jesus is the Son. Watch this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21.
And I want you to go back, like I said, go back and read these scriptures. For yourself, bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There you go, that's the son. If you want another scripture, John 3, verse 16. That's enough. Okay, now watch this. You want to see that he is the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, verse 26. Let's go there. But early. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father himself will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And this is Jesus speaking. He said he's going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in his name, in Jesus' name. So we now know that Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And it further reads, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace. There you go. That's verse 27. He said he leaves my peace, his peace. The peace of God. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Once we tap into the mind of Christ, we are in his peace. Amen. Now, watch this. I got two more scriptures that I'm going to leave with. First John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these agree in one. Anytime, like I said, anytime God talked about being saved or about himself, he always refers as one. There is not two baptisms. There's one. Amen. He always referred himself as one. Always referred himself as one. And I got one more question. Galatians 3 and 7.
I'm going to leave y'all with this. Hold on. I think it's Galatians. Hold on. I just had it and I just lost it. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, y'all. The scripture says that whatsoever is Colossians 3:17. Thank you, Lord. Not Galatians. I'm so sorry, y'all. Colossians 3:17. Let's go to Colossians. That's why I was wrong. I was wrong. Colossians 3:17. And it reads, that's why my Bible was looking funny, y'all. I was like, wait a minute. Colossians 3:17. And this debunks everything that people say about being baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This verse debunks it right now that you are supposed to be in this book in Acts 2:38, right? And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There you go. So this is how we step out of our flesh. This is it. That's how we step out of our flesh. Amen. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is how we step out of our flesh. Out of our mind, out of our worldly mindset, out of our earthly mindset, and step into the mind of Christ. Amen. I hope that this broadcast has blessed you all today. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week, long year, throughout this week. I pray that everything that you ask God for, that you receive on today. And as it states in Acts 2:38, as we read before, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is the only way to get into heaven, the only way to see the Lord, in Jesus' name. I love each and every one of you. I want to tell you, I got a couple, but like, 4 minutes left. I want to say this. Make sure that y'all continue to wear y'all's masks. The pandemic is still out there. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. We're still dealing with this virus. Do not take down from this disease. Do not. I repeat, do not take down from what the CDC says. If they say, if you're telling us to wear our mask, wear your mask, use your hand sanitizer, wash your hands. If you need to use social, just pray for me. I am, as I said on last week, I am seeking, if the Lord says the same and if the Lord tarries, I will be seeking a local office in the city of Indianapolis. I am going to run for city council, and one of the shows I'm going to have on, we're going to be talking about the that are going on in different cities and different states, and I'm going to have on a very, very special guest on. And it's not next week, but it is coming up. I'm going to have this person on that can tell us more about what to do about voting and things like that, because we do have a voting coming up in, I believe, 2022 for the U.S. Senate and things like that. So we want to keep you updated on everything. We try to keep you updated on this show about everything, not just spiritual, but also natural stuff, because you can be so spiritual that you're no earthly good at all. So we want to keep you updated on the spiritual, but we also want to keep you updated on the natural, because as long as the Lord has not came, we still have to live on this earth until He comes. In Jesus' name, and the Bible does say, occupy until He comes. So we have to occupy. We have to occupy until He either He calls us home or He raptures the church out. God bless you. I love you. And I thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come. I thank God for the. I thank God for having my first person to ask a question on the show.
Amen.
Bishop Cook sent the question on into me, and I thank God. And as I've stated before, make sure you call in if you have any questions, not just for the summit, but any show that we have. We are going to have shows all week long. Amen. Make sure you're here Monday to the show.
60 seconds.
And on Tuesday, Pastor Carver. So
yeah.
God bless you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, repent. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again, if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week, in Jesus' name.